Thank you, Jason. Good evening to each and every one of you. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4, for our reading tonight. We'll take and start from there. Acts chapter 4. I saw on the back this little brochure here. It's a one-day conference, Creation Science Seminar, this Saturday. It's at the Hearthstone Manor, $25 for the day there. Sounds like a pretty good thing there to go to if you're interested. There's some more stuff there, but that's this Saturday that I just happened to notice back there. Acts chapter 4, and beginning at the first verse there. And as they spoke unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody unto the next day, for it was now eventide. But many of them who heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made well, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you well. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man who was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all those who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. So that's our initial reading for this evening here, a reading from God's Word. This month we're going to take a look at songs in the evening here for the evening message part, and so I'll play you this one right now as my contribution to that part of the message here. And it's a little easier to do it this way, I guess. If this isn't odd enough, let me know.
With the gift for me,
Song that you consider along with the text of scripture that we have. And one other thought before I comment on some of these other things. One picture that I happened to just see, I've seen it before, and I was reminded again of this past week in our training center, is a picture of showing these guys rowing a boat into the sunset going towards the bridge. It could be maybe over here, I doubt it. But those guys that go in those skinny boats, and there's four or more of them in there rowing away. And so there's this picture, nice looking picture. And the caption below that has, coming together is a beginning. That's the first part of it. The second part of that continues on with, keeping together is progress. And they have a third part. Now, if you don't know about the rowing part and stuff like that too much, the only reason I knew about this is because Kevin was involved in it and really didn't pay much attention to those. I saw him before going down there. But as we were watching him and as he was telling different things, you really need to take and all work together on that, or it goes crooked, or you really lose time, but you really need to take and do that together. And so the last part says, working together is success. Coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success. And so by knowing about the picture and what is involved in that process of the rowing, that takes on meaning. But if you don't know all that stuff and how difficult that is, then perhaps that picture doesn't have as much meaning. And so the idea of this evening, God's Word has a definite meaning. Different songs, even as Jason was giving some good thoughts about the songs that he chose tonight, have some meaning. And again, trust that the pictures sometimes that we see in life have some definite meanings. And so we'll continue on from there. A little background to Acts chapter 4. Turn back to chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And I'm just going to go through some things here quickly from these other sheets because they have some notes on it. It would be easier for me to find it, but you can follow in your Bible. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them. And so we have here the first message. I told you this, I asked you this morning to consider the words preaching and teaching, if you would. And so here's the first message by Peter, standing with the 11, lifting up his voice and saying unto them. Drop down to verse 22 of that chapter, chapter 2. You men of Israel, hear these words of Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know, also know. Here, a man approved of God. Here's the facts. In his preaching, he's including facts to these people for them to consider. Drop down to verse 29, same chapter. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you. So the idea of speaking. Verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Again, trying to present facts to them rather than just thinking or some random thoughts. And so as a result of this preaching, this first message that Peter gave, verse 37, if you would go to there, Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And this question is, they heard what he had to say, and as the others were standing there in support of that, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, so that's Israel, and notice this other part, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so the message that he's presenting is going not just to the Israelite people, but to everyone in the world, which would include us. The message to take in, what shall we do? The idea to take and repent. Verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So the message was received, 3,000 were saved as a result of that message alone. Drop down to verse 47. We have the plus factor added into this. It says, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And here's the plus factor of God himself. Not only did he have to depend on, not only did he use Peter, but he used himself with other people. So the plus factor is God in the work there daily, such as should be saved. So there was probably many other messages or thoughts that were given. Chapter 3, as we have this man, this lame man, we'll break in at verse 5 of that, chapter 3 and verse 5 of Acts. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I give unto thee, such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So as far as I can recollect, this is like the first recorded miracle that took place by the apostles there. And so that took place. As a result of that, he gets a chance to deliver a second message beginning at verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our father, of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom you delivered and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are all witnesses. So again, facts being trying to present in this message to them. And we'll skip over down to verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And so here's the second message. Here's a chance to take and speak again this message. And so it includes preaching. What does preaching mean? Well, maybe you got some general ideas a little bit. I sort of tossed around, wrestled around different things, but from Webster's dictionary, he has just basically two: to speak in public on religious matters, or to give moral or religious advice, especially in a tiresome manner. Sometimes I think of the idea of preaching and the fact of, it kind of gets to you because you don't want to necessarily hear it, perhaps. But that's kind of a simple definition from Webster. But as far as we can see from what I could see from God's word is the word repent. When we're talking about the spiritual part, both of these times, repent ye therefore in verse 19 and be converted, that your sins be blotted out. As they're speaking, there is a desire for the direction to take and make a definite change. And so as they speak, there's looking for not just some rattling off of some words, although he was given the facts there, but the idea is to have a change in direction, to repent, is found both times of his message here, repent and be converted. And that's not only given to the Jewish people, but also, as I said, to all of us. The prophet spoke about it. We'll drop down to verse 26 of chapter 3. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from his iniquities. The change of direction. And so that's the background that we're going into as of chapter 4. And the fact that, again, from this message, as we read, we'll read back in chapter 4 again just briefly. And as he spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead. And they laid their hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. So we had 3,000. We had daily such as should be added. We have another group of 5,000. And I don't know over the course of time how much this took place here, but as a result of the preaching, God's word was going forth. People were changing their direction and receiving him as their Savior, except for one group. And so I was thinking about this song in relation to this thing that you just heard with regards to this next group that's there. When preaching takes place, does it always produce tremendous results? Verse 5 of chapter 4 of Acts, and it came to pass on a morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Big meeting on the side here. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? And so here's another message. Maybe there's many others in between, but we have two messages that are recorded for us. This is a third message, and it's to a little private group. Pretty good size meaning, I would say, but a private group, a private message. And the results of that was what? They didn't respond to that, right? In fact, they didn't want to be preached at. And so there was like three things there. God was still a stranger to them, and it resulted not in their salvation, and basically they really didn't want to be preached at or have this gone to somebody else. And so, to me, that's a connection of this particular song. To them, he was a stranger. I'll just do it one more time, because sometimes you hear song and listen once more as we have. This is by the Spear family, and Ben Spear is the person that's singing. And this is back in 1978. This is one of the things I found from my father that I just sort of, I don't think I've ever heard this song before, but it's been a blessing to me. So you can listen one more time for the words. The gift is left at the cross, and the gift is of love.
Stranger.
So to each and every one of us that have put our faith and trust in the Lord, He's not a stranger any longer. We used to sing a song that's in the Choice Hymn of Faith book a long time ago, The Stranger of Galilee. And fancy I stood by the shore one day of the beautiful murmuring sea. I saw the great crowds as they thronged the way of the Stranger of Galilee. I saw how the man who was blind from birth in a moment was made to see. The lame was made whole by the matchless skill of the Stranger of Galilee. Verse 2 has his look of compassion, his words of love. They shall never forgotten be. When sin sick and helpless, he saw me there, the Stranger of Galilee. He showed me his hand and his riven side, and he whispered, "It was for thee." My burden fell off at the pierced feet of the Stranger of Galilee. And the chorus goes, "And I felt I could love him forever, so gracious and tender was he. I claimed him that day as my Savior, the Stranger of Galilee." So I trust if you still consider him as a stranger, that you might consider the facts as Peter tried to present the message several times, and the people had to make a change of direction. They had to take and repent. They had to change their direction. These people that should have known him, and it shouldn't have been a stranger to them, indeed was still a stranger to them. And in fact, let's continue with chapter 4 of verse 17 of Acts. After they had this council, they said, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. To speak, to basically not to preach or to teach in the name of Christ. And so we know that their best laid plans went awry because the word of God continues to go forth even today. They tried to stop him, they tried to kill him, and yet God's word goes forth. It continues to go forth. They had a major problem there. It says in verse 22 that this guy was how old? How old was this man? Huh? 40, yeah. Above 40 years old. So it wasn't some young person, somebody that was just dreaming up something. And here they had this private little message there, and so they said, you know, what are we going to do? Here, this guy is standing right before us, and you can't deny that he's been healed. What are we going to do about it? And then as Tom had this portion in Exodus, just hold your finger there, and just turn to Exodus last week of chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1 and beginning in verse 8. "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when war occurs, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore did they set them over taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasured cities, Python and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel." And so as Tom was reading, I was thinking of this portion back here, because the more they did it, the more it spread. And the more they tried to tell them, don't preach any further, don't teach any further, the more it spread. And so God takes and overrules the best intentions of whatever man might do. I was thinking as Jim was talking about Moses there, and sometimes was he being preached to or was he being taught? So you can think about that a little bit, but I was thinking about that aspect of preaching and teaching as well this morning as he was giving that message this morning. Back to Acts again. We'll turn back there if you would. And this time, Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They wanted to take and continue to preach. They wanted to continue to take and give out more messages with boldness, that they would be granted that by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. And so multitudes are still being saved. They still were able to present the word. And so we had 3,000 saved. We had daily such as should be saved. We had 5,000 saved. We had perhaps other cases. And here we got multitudes. And verse 33 is a very nice verse in there of chapter 4. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And so the preaching went forth with tremendous power, because it's based on the Lord Jesus Christ. He died and he rose again. And so the people benefited from that kind of preaching. Chapter 5 goes on with the first part there. We'll get back to that in a moment, that you're very familiar with. But skipping down to verse 14 of chapter 5, it says, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and of women. Verse 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk. So there was those that were saved, and there was those that were sick, coming out multitudes. And why did the multitudes become saved in chapter, or verse 14 there, chapter 5? Was there any preaching that was done there? Sort of in an indirect way. In the beginning, we had some text I read, and I said that could speak to us. We had some songs that we could sing that could speak to us. We have pictures that could speak to us as well. They certainly had a definite picture. And what was that? Right. So they had that. They also had, I was thinking of Ananias and Sapphira. They were just murdered. That was a pretty strong picture for them to take and wake up and say, whoa. And so I think because of that too, the picture that they saw, vivid picture, rather than the strong preaching by words, spoke to the multitudes of people. And so there's, as I said, ways of God's word getting forth, whether it's by song, whether it's by his word, or whether it's by pictures that people see. Chapter 5, verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. Here's the second prison occurring already for them. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So talking about speaking, I think he's talking more here about teaching. Because he says, go to the people and give them the words of this life. Give them beyond the words of salvation, I think. And so they're giving some things extra besides just the preaching part, but to go, to stand, and to speak. And so again, while they try to put them in prison, God released them. And so they thought that, you know, they're not really there. They heard the report. They're not really there. Well, they found out that report was true, because somebody else says, hey, they're over in the temple speaking, you know. It's true. They're not here. And so again, their plans went awry. And so they have a second private message for them given. And it's over in verse 28, starting at verse 28. Back up in verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answers and says, and so here's the second private message to them. And again, I'll play this other song for you, because they were wanted to take and boldly go forth and continue to preach regardless of what the people did. To serve. They went and spoke to this group the second time privately. Verse 29 of chapter 5. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Sound familiar to like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." And so there was the message. And when they heard it, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Did the preaching get through? Yeah, they heard the message, but they didn't like it. We didn't want to be preached to. You didn't listen to what we told you. And they took and decided again to take and kill them. As we know the story, somebody steps in. Then stood up there one in the council, Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space until they had another little private session on their own, as they did the last time. The last time it was with regards to the miracle that took place. This time it's directly with what they're saying. And they said unto them, "You men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves." And so here's the number 400. And so he's thinking, well, if you remember, well, how many were saved? 3,000, 5,000. Daily as much as it should be saved, and multitudes. That's a quite bigger number than just a 400. But he's saying, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. So here's an example of somebody, if they follow the wrong person, look what happened to that person. Second example he gives, after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him, he also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And so he's given a pretty good logical here. If this guy's really like these, if this message is like them, it'll just go their way. And now I say unto you in verse 38, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. And so we know, again, their plans were not able to stop the message of going forth. The message of God's word still goes forth. And to him they agreed, in verse 40, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to do what? To teach and to preach Jesus Christ. So it's not only just a matter of preaching, but also of teaching, and it continues to go on today. They were willing to take and present that message. Once again, I'll let you listen to this as we close this song again, as you think about your part.
I sure
do love the Lord. How about you? He's been so good. So many things he's brought. How much he loves me. When counting up my blessings, that's the dearest thing to me.
I sure
do love the Lord.
Thank you.
Week, Tim's going to have the one for the Sunday evening service, the thought on songs. Following week is Ron and Tom and then myself with some other thoughts. And then Jorge will have the following week, and then Don Parham will have the last week of October, our thinking about songs that speak in different ways to each and every one of us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for what you give to us to help us along life's way. We thank you for the songs that we have have been inspired and passed along. We thank you for your word, especially that's been the inspiration for many songs as well as life's experiences. We thank you for your word continuing, and as you preserved it, we pray for the message that as it goes forth, people might repent. They might turn from that direction that they're heading and look to you. And then for help for each and every one of us to serve you, we thank you for today, again, thinking about your love for us as we met together and gave thanks for what you have done for us on the cross this morning. Be with us this week. Be with each one. We ask and ask your blessing upon each one with your word. We ask this in your name. Amen.